Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are you doing today?
Very well, Coach Steve. How's everybody out there in podcast land listening? I hope you're all well.
Yes, I hope we're all well. And look, Nick, we have made it. It's an exciting day. Do you know what day it is today?
Yes.
Do you, Nick? It's the most exciting day of our lifetime. It is Tuesday. Nick.
Absolutely.
It is Tuesday.
We've been talking about this for such a long time.
Yes. So in podcast land, we are recording this on a Monday, but it's being released on a Tuesday. And this Tuesday is a very special day. This Tuesday is the 22nd of February 2022. So the date today is 2-2-2-2-2. Nick, what an exciting day. What are you doing for Tuesday?
Well, we were talking about, you know, celebrating that. But I'm just going to probably try and train with numbers that are twos. So maybe I'll try and press the 22s or something.
For doubles, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah.
So let's just tailor our entire training around twos.
Around the twos. Yeah, yeah. Well, like my goal was to be able to squat 222 for two on Tuesday. But I don't know if I'll be able to do that today.
Do you have do you have ones that you could pop on your barbell anyway?
I don't have microplates, no. So that's the closest I have is a 1.25. So that ends up being 222.5. So I don't know how pedantic you get about those 0.5s.
Well, if it's all about the twos, you can't do it.
No, because it'll be 222.5.
No, that'd stuff it all up.
That wouldn't make sense because you can't be 222.52 on Tuesday, right? Like it can't work. You ruin the twos, Steve.
I know. So what are you going to do? Just not do it?
I don't know. I'll have to sort something out. I've got a couple of hours today to figure something out for Tuesday, but it's going to be an exciting day this Tuesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited about it. And big shout out to Dave from our office who makes the protein, all of our proteins, the flavors, everything, because he loves Tuesday, doesn't he? He's
yes.
Looking forward to that.
Yes. And if today you're not doing anything exciting for Tuesday, you do have time. Maybe to look out for Threes Day and Fours Day, which is coming up over the next couple of decades. So no pressure. Tuesday, if you miss it, you got Threes Day, so you got to survive another 10 years, and hopefully with 10 good years of lifting and training and all the good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know that I'm going to be in bed by the time the actual 2-2 thing comes along because I've been up so early today. So you'll have to celebrate for me if you're up with baby George or anything.
Well, Tuesday is the big hour of Tuesday is at 10 p.m., right? Because then the time will be 2-2-2-2 and then on the 22nd of the 2nd, 2022. So that'll be like a big, big moment. So no pressure. Hopefully we get some fireworks at 10 p.m.
Yeah, I'll just be asleep. I just know that. So you'll have to fly the flag there.
Well, look, Nick, it's time to multiply two by two because we're in week four. Week four of the challenge.
Stop it. You and all your science and numbers.
So two times two, we're in four, week four of the challenge. And look, like always, there's exciting times of the challenge. We're just progressing into the third of the way through the challenge and wrapping up the first phase of this January challenge. Mm. Now, this Friday coming, which is the 25th of February, we transition into weeks 5 to 8, where you'll be able to complete your week 4 check-in, and then you'll have access to the week 5 to 8 training. Of course, that new program starts on the Monday, so on the 28th. But you know, you have access to that on this Friday, the 25th, and that's from 9 a.m. So when you log into the challenge website, you'll be prompted to complete that check-in process. So you'll be prompted to upload a progress photo. That photo does not need any completion document or newspaper or anything like that. No. It's just a photo, a progress of yourself. Like we've suggested in other podcasts and other mediums, I would recommend that you look at recreating that first photo, because if you get a really clear before and after photo in week one before, you may start to see some changes that you may not have noticed yet, especially if you're wearing, you know, the same outfit, you got the same background, the same lighting, maybe the same type of day. That can really highlight your progress. So, you know, really think about that check-in photo, because it can be quite a motivational thing and keep us going, training hard.
Definitely. I'm all about the progress photos. So I'm all over that. Love it. Very important, because, you can't really judge until you have a look.
That's right. Yeah. And look, even if you look at those two before and after photos, and maybe you've got a very, judgy eye is what I'd say. Maybe you look in those two photos and you go, oh, geez, I see absolutely zero change between those before and after photos. You could take two paths in that. You could either become really upset and go, I've worked for the past 4 weeks and I've seen absolutely zero change. What's the point in this thing? I'm just going to just give up now. It's not for me. Or you can go down the other path and going, okay, I have trained. I have completed this thing for 4 weeks. I've dieted for 4 weeks and I'm seeing no change. What could I do better? And that's hopefully the approach that you take, because we want you to take that approach of, okay, I've got these before and after photos. I'm training as hard as I could, or could I train harder? I don't know. I'm eating as well as I can. Could I eat harder? I don't know. I'm trying to put everything together as best as I can. Could I do better? I don't know. So I want you to take that moment to reflect, especially when you see those before and after photos, and think, okay, can I do this better? You know, could I take my training to that next level? Could I train a little bit harder, getting closer to failure? Or can I, get my steps up a little bit more? Or can I be a little bit more strict on my diet? That's when we start to do this self audit, where we get these improvements, because it's not always an easy process. Sometimes it's a simple process, but it's not always easy. And it does take that little bit of grit, a little bit of effort, and a little bit of humility, being humble in our approach to take it to that next level.
That's right. And also, let me be frank with you, my new hobby on this podcast. If you want to tell yourself, oh, the scales are not for you, they may not tell the full story. Well, pictures don't lie. So they really don't. So it's a really good wake-up call, and it's a really good time to go, what can I do better, as you said, or, how can I skew this so I can actually win from this? Not win the challenge, or you can win the challenge, but just win for yourself, get out of that victim mentality and go, what can I do better?
Now, we have challenges that often talk about the limitations of weighing ourselves, where, the sayings of, muscle weighs more than fat and things like that come out. Okay, sure. There are some limitations when looking at our images. It's really hard to compare two images. You couldn't be standing, half a meter closer to the camera, so you look physically bigger. There's different lighting and different, times of day that can alter the way our body looks. So sometimes it's really difficult to do, those comparisons between those two pictures. So if you are kind of squinting your eyes, turning your head, trying to look at those small changes in an image, sometimes images don't tell the full picture, but it's not wise to just put that information to the side, because we want to look at all the bits of data in our journey. And that could be our scale weight, that could be our measurements, that could be our images, that could be our performance in the gym. So all these variables added together tell the story of change. And one limiting strategy that some people do is they don't like what the number on the scales is representing, so they push that to the side. They don't like the images that they're being presented, they push that to the side. They don't like their measurements, so they push that to the side. So all these objective measures that are kind of telling us how we are progressing, we just push that all to the side and we go, well, this thing isn't working. And we kind of go, well, yeah, okay, it's not working because we're putting all these measurements to the side, when maybe we need to change our strategy so we can actually make a change on these measurements. So it can be confronting, I understand that. But remember, it is just another bit of data, another bit of documentation in our journey to make that change in our body.
That's right. And sometimes if things are not working, it's okay to pivot a little bit and reassess and try and get it to work. That's okay too, because we're all afraid of saying that things are not working for us.
That's right.
And I think it's okay to assess and go, look, I need to do this or change this approach.
Mm-hmm.
But, good time. And it's pretty much the last time that you can change programs as well, isn't it?
That's right.
If you're thinking of doing that, it coincides.
Yes, as we transition into that week 5 to 8, the ability to change your program does get locked. Now, Nick, I do want to talk about that idea of trial and error, understanding when things aren't working. And you would reflect on this with your own competitions and both in weightlifting and in physique shows. And even just me within the past week, right? I'm planning and training, getting ready for this competition in about a month from now, a powerlifting show. And my previous week of training, I've increased the loads that I'm lifting, the total amounts that I'm lifting, and that has kind of beaten up my body. So now as I transition into week two of my peaking program, like for example, my quads are a little bit sore from my training on, you know, Friday, and today I've got deadlifts. So this is now a problem where my legs still a little bit sore and not ready to be able to complete a deadlift at a heavy load. So now I need to sit there and reflect on my program going, okay, do I need to squat at slightly lower loads that I can be ready for my deadlift, or less volume? So instead of doing three sets, I do two sets. Or do I need to change the day that I squat so that I can get ready to do my deadlift? So these are like challenges that I face personally. And it's not something that is a blanket rule for everybody. It's my unique body and my unique environment. You know, I'm Coach Steve. I'm also Dr. Steve in the clinic, and I'm also Papa Steve for my baby. So, you know, I've got other stresses in my life, and these things impact my journey, right? And Nick, you probably be exactly the same when you're getting ready for your competitions. You know, you're Nick the mom, you're Nick the spin instructor, maybe still, maybe not, you're, you know, Coach Nick and all the other things, that all the other hats that you wear. So you've got other stresses, so you need to go through times where you reflect on your journey and think, okay, how could I modify this so I can keep doing it? And that's the process that we kind of get to when we're on that pointy end of training, where things don't always work. We do need to kind of mix match and make things trial and error, make things work out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I still do that every single day. So when you think, oh, what's she telling me to do? Don't worry, I have like basically a daily self-check-in, and you know, I have certain strategies and goals and things that I have to hit pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. So if I drop the ball, I have to figure out what's going on, and then I also have to figure out a way to get on with it. You know, if I have dropped the ball for that particular day or couple of days, or anything has happened to me, I have to work out a strategy to get back on track. You know,
yeah.
And it's not all smooth, no way. And no. Sometimes I'll rock up to training and I'll have done like a full day's work and you know, steps early morning, and the kids are annoying and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to do this. And I have to psych myself up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired, and then I'm not sure. And you know, when you go to squat, and you think you're really tired, but then you warm up a little bit and then it's good. And then you're like, well, I don't even know myself. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's my confession.
I think the trickiest thing is trying to guide someone or teach someone how to make that trial and error approach. Mm. And the only advice I would give you, dear listener, is that if you're unsure if the journey is working for you, you may need to document more of your journey, because the more bits of information that we can collect, such as, you know, some of the information on the daily check-in tool, that information starts to tell a story, and sometimes it becomes blaringly obvious where we need to improve or to modify. So if you are feeling really sore prior to your training session, okay, maybe you've done too much previously, or your current situation is not helpful to recover from your bouts of stresses in your life. So we need to modify our environment. Maybe you are not losing weight and that's your goal. Okay, maybe you are simply consuming too much energy and you need to consume less energy. Maybe you need to do more physical activity. You don't know these benchmarks unless you start paying attention to those things, which is why we're constantly suggesting, you know, document your process, collect data, information, you know, understand your story, because then you can start making those changes. If you are trying to put the blinkers on and not look at all these things, okay, you're going in a little bit blind. So when you come to us and go, oh, Coach Steve, Coach Nick, I'm not losing weight, what do I do? We kind of go, well, what are you doing at the moment? And you may respond with, I don't know. And then that's the crux of the problem, where we go, okay, we need to find out what you're doing right now so that we can improve that. So it's not too late. If you are in week four now and you haven't been collecting any information, it's okay to start now. If you're not sure what to collect, I would suggest a few of the following. One, your daily weight changes, so your weight every day, your daily step count, so we know what your steps are like. I would also suggest that you start qualitatively recording your quality of sleep. So when you wake up in the morning, you know, rate how awake or alert you feel. So, you know, you might have a 3-4 hour sleep, but you feel really alert, and you might have a 12 hour sleep and you feel like death on wheels, right? You know, it doesn't really matter how many hours we sleep. It's all about the quality of that sleep. I would also suggest you start recording how hydrated you feel. So not so much how many liters of water you consume, how hydrated you feel, that plays an important part. Then your overall energy levels, you know, some days you might feel flat, some days you might feel high energy, and then your overall readiness to train. So, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how ready do you feel to train? And, you know, as we kind of go through this midway through the challenge, you may be feeling that, oh gosh, yeah, it's going down slowly. Now I'm at like a 3 out of 10 ready to train. I'm just kind of tired. I'm fatigued. I've dieted for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks and trying to train as hard as I can. And that's okay, because these bits of information help to direct our strategy. So start collecting information, document your process, and that's when we can make some really great changes in our body.
Definitely. And it's really, really normal to feel fatigued on certain days and to have a bit of hunger. That's all really normal. And absolutely, also, not to be feeling positive and upbeat all the time as well, especially in this mid phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the bit where it's very normal to go, ah, I can't be buggered. I can't be bothered today. I'll do it towards the end.
Yep. Especially as we transition to week 5 to 8, where if you are following a fat loss program, there is a step down in the energy intake, and then another step down as we go into weeks 9 to 12. So if you are cruising along at the moment, awesome. If you're not having a fun time at the moment, you may need to buckle yourself in, because it might be a little bit interesting as we transition to week 5 to 8 and 9 to 12. Okay.
True.
Nick, I want to answer a few common questions that have come up over the past week or 2 weeks, and also some common questions that come up around this time of the challenge. Okay, so the first one, which I've seen pop up a lot, is what do I do if I catch COVID? Okay, what do I do if I catch COVID? My response to that will be, number one, you know, if you are unwell, priority number one is to get you well again. So regardless if you are trying to lose weight, build muscle, train, or anything in between, a little bit of TLC for yourself is really important. And that might mean that, you know, you have a little bit of a diet break, you come off of the challenge, you step away from the challenge as you, you know, recover and maybe look after your loved ones, and make sure you're looking after yourself. So that'll be the very first thing I say, make sure that you're looking after yourself regardless of what we're trying to do in the challenge. Okay.
100%. Your health is always number one.
You know, if you're looking for advice on what to do if you have COVID, probably wrong space. You know, Nick and I, we're PTs. You're probably best to speak with a nurse or a GP about how to, you know, look after yourself if you do have symptoms of COVID. Okay. Definitely. Now, in terms of training, nutrition side of things, it's probably best that if you are following like a fat loss program, that you increase your calories back to maintenance. The reason why is that if you are under stress in your body, you know, you're fighting a sickness, a virus, you know, you have an element of stress. Plus, if you are dieting and in an energy deficit, you have further elements of stress. So all this stress compounded in the body can prolong the healing process and prolong your symptoms of COVID. So it's probably best to not try to be dieting through COVID, probably not a wise strategy. Chances are, if you respond a certain way to a virus, you may lose your hunger, you may lose your sense of smell. So maybe you are inclined to eat less. That's okay, sure, no dramas. But it's not wise to be strictly trying to diet while you are unwell.
Definitely. And just nutritious and nourishing foods are the way to go as well.
Here's a funny story. I'm going to call her out. My little sister. Okay. My little sister had COVID about a month ago or so. Okay. And I messaged her. I'm like, hey, how you doing with the Rona, like this? And she goes, oh, not well. I wouldn't wish this upon anyone. I'm like, oh gosh, you're not having a good time. Okay. Do you have something to eat for lunch? She goes, oh no, I've just been eating chocolate chip cookies all day. Right. And I go, I'm like, all right, look, okay, you can't be eating chocolate chip cookies if you're unwell. I would feel crap if I ate chocolate chip cookies all day. So I went and brought her lunch. So the point is, you know, if you are unwell, some people, you know, throw in the towel, they just want to eat those comfort foods, just like my sister was. And that could lead us to have an even poorer experience, if that's a word, poorer experience with this virus. So look after yourself, drink plenty of water, and, you know, eating nourishing foods is probably good for you.
Yeah, and don't stress about the challenge, because your number one priority, as you said, is your health. We'll always be here.
That's right. Now, let's talk about training side of things. So if you do have COVID feeling unwell, should you train? My response to that is no, you probably want to follow some isolation protocols. So probably not best to try to spread it around. So if you are going to a commercial gym, probably not wise to go and train. And if you are training at home, again, probably not wise to go and do a really high effort training session. So you may benefit from doing some light physical activity, things like, you know, going for a walk and stuff. You might feel good in your body. But if you're going to go try to do a heavy, you know, 3 rep max on a squat, you know, at a RPE of 9 or 10, you might not have a fun time, especially if you're unwell. So training, it's okay to kind of go through a deload or, you know, but reduce the load or volume by, you know, like 10 or 20%. Totally fine to do, probably wise to do as well when we're talking about that overall stress that we're applying on our body.
Definitely. Sometimes it's better not to force yourself to do all that stuff because it's ultimately something that you're doing to make yourself better. So you have to be in pretty, you know, good condition to start with to benefit from it. Otherwise, it's just about resting, recovering, and getting yourself better ASAP. So your body can prioritize actually healing rather than then also healing from super hard weight training as well.
Now, some of us have been exposed to COVID and have put in short-term restrictions or lockdowns. So what do we do if we're in isolation with training? So maybe you are going to a commercial gym, now you're stuck at your house, what do you do? Well, our programs are very flexible. There are in the training templates, there's our training filters. So you can filter out different bits of equipment that you don't have. So at the moment, the standard is that all the boxes are ticked. So you have access to all the equipment and it displays all the exercises on your training template. But you can go through and remove some of those bits of equipment. So things like, you know, a bench or a barbell or a dumbbell, a kettlebell, those types of things. And as you untick those boxes, it's going to filter out those exercises on your program. So you can remove all bits of equipment and it will only display body weight exercises. So things like, you know, maybe a lunge or a push-up or a sit-up. So those exercises will be displayed in your training template. You may just need to go through and change those exercises from, you know, a barbell bench press to a push-up. Okay. So there's with no equipment at all, you can still do a really challenging workout. You know, doing a whole bunch of push-ups can be really hard, especially for those of us who may bench press quite a bit of load. You may need to do more repetitions. So you may be someone who feels comfortable doing 10 push-ups, no dramas. You may need to do 20 push-ups to make it challenging. Okay, you're just doing a few more reps. Sure, that might break the rep range. But if you are in isolation for a week, you know, that's okay. We're just breaking that rep range, fine. Or you may find that one push-up is too challenging. So you regress that even further to push-ups on your knees or an incline push-up or something like that. So there are activities that we can do with no equipment at all around your house and still get an okay training session in, especially if we are in isolation for the week with no major symptoms and we don't really have COVID ourselves.
Definitely. I recommend probably any single leg exercises as well, any unilateral stuff. That's always hard. Even when you're in the gym, you're not adding heaps and heaps and heaps of weight. No. So they're always good to do. And then you'll realize how awesome they are. Yep. And how horrible they are.
Well, even like talking about load, you know, like we're in the gym, we might grab like the 5 kilo dumbbells to do like a Bulgarian split squat or something like that. You may look around your house and you may find things that are 5 kilos in weight. Maybe there is a suitcase that you could put some textbooks in, or, you know, maybe you have a container of water, you know, like they're pretty, pretty big, right? Or maybe you've got like some bits of furniture around the house or something. You can always like find load. Of course, in a safe way. We don't want to be doing some MacGyvered, you know, home gym kind of setup that ends up on like some meme channel. Like we want to be safe with what we're doing, but you can always kind of find something if you need to lift something heavy.
Yes.
Nick, you can answer this next question here. What happens if I fall off the wagon? So if someone is doing the challenge, they're in week maybe 6 from now, and you know, they are not following the challenge anymore. Maybe they've not following the nutrition workbook anymore, they're not following the training program, maybe, you know, life stress has got in the way. What can that person do?
Okay, so the fact that you're still engaged with the community and asking means that you're still interested. So you haven't fallen off the wagon to the point where you don't want anything to do with us anymore. Because if you've done that, then you won't be listening to this. So if you have fallen off the wagon and you sort of, there's something where you feel like you can't get back on for whatever reason, all I would just say is hop back on at the next station. And the next station is basically the minute that you hear this, you know, just get back onto it. So the worst thing you can do is just keep going. It doesn't matter if you've done it for a week. The worst thing you can do is add another day to that. Just clean yourself up and get back onto it. So whether it's training, because usually you're only ever one good training session away from feeling really good. So the training is always, it takes care of itself. Just do one thing and then you'll feel awesome. That's a really good thing about training. Now with nutrition, it's also the same. As soon as you start to have a meal that makes you actually feel good, you'll start to remember how great it feels. And also just, yeah, try and just remove that hyper palatable food that we talk about. Because anyone, you know, if you've got a box of cookies there versus some lettuce and some rice, you're going to, you know, if you've had the cookies, the lettuce and rice isn't going to taste as good straight away. So just remember that as well. You'll go through a little bit of a bit with your body where you go, oh, hang on, this doesn't taste as good, but you'll start feeling good. So I would just say jump back on.
Good advice. And I'd say the same thing. You know, we could sit there and, you know, sit there in our sorrows and go, oh, I've fallen off the wagon. I'm not training. I'm not dieting. You could do that forever. Or you can just go, okay, I've had some time off and now let's get back into it. And you're right. Just jump on the next station.
Exactly. Because otherwise you're going to delay it and you're going to want to start again at some point. So you may as well just start today.
Yep. Next quick question I want to answer is, what do I do if I get injured? And around this time, you know, we are kind of getting into 4 to 6 to 8 weeks of training. And, you know, part of training is we do suffer those little aches and pains, those little niggles that happen in our body. And sometimes if we ignore those niggles for long enough, it does produce something a little bit more significant that we would call an injury or a time loss injury. Okay, so what do I do if I have an injury? First thing I'd recommend is to visit a registered allied healthcare professional. So I'm talking like a physio, an osteo, a chiro, an exercise physiologist, someone whose job is to look at people who are injured. You know, GPs are great. My however in that is that a lot of them do maybe one semester of musculoskeletal injuries in their studies. And, you know, they're really great at helping people who may have COVID. But when it comes to, you know, some musculoskeletal injuries, their entire career isn't just on those injuries. So if you do go see someone like a physio, their entire career is to learn about musculoskeletal injuries. So they may be more helpful in that situation. If you are one to maybe not want to go to see a allied healthcare professional, okay, sure. You know, you can self-manage, you know, the majority of injuries. I'm talking, you know, 90% of injuries can be self-managed. The first thing we want to do is to step away from some of those activities that are painful. So if you do find that, you know, deadlifting 100 kilos is painful, okay, maybe we don't want to be deadlifting 100 kilos for 10 reps. Maybe you want to deload or decrease the load that you're using. So maybe you could deadlift 50 kilos with no pain. Awesome, great. That's where we're going to party at. So that you may be able to regress some of your training so you can still continue your training. Our programs are really flexible and there's even filters for movement patterns. So if you find that you've hurt your shoulder and you can't press your shoulder overhead and that's painful, you can tick the box on your training template to remove overhead pressing movements. And the program will take those away, but then still have some exercises that you can train your shoulders that don't press overhead. So there's always something that we can do. What I suggest to some of my patients in the clinic is that, you know, movement really is medicine. So if your response is to sit on the couch or avoid activity, okay, you may be doing more harm than good by avoiding movement. It's probably best that we do some sort of physical activity that's within a pain rating. So we don't want it to be, you know, more than like a 5 out of 10 in pain when we're doing the activity. We want to find an activity that has maybe some element of discomfort because that's part of training where there is going to be discomfort, but we don't want it to be too painful. Okay. So basically the point is just regress some of your training, visit an allied healthcare professional, and, you know, be patient. Maybe take it as a reflective process going, okay, maybe my squat isn't a squat at the moment because it's causing me to be injured, and you might need to change your squat pattern.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the worst thing you can do is just stop everything.
That's right. Nick, the last common question we get here is, what if I have a bad meal? So we have many challengers who want to be, 100%, want to be perfect. And maybe on the weekend, they have their kid's birthday party, they have a slice of cake. Gosh, what happens? Is it all over, Nick, or what can this person do?
It's all okay. It's the same as the wagon one. just jump back on. It's okay. It's all good. Even as you get further down the line in your training, you might even be able to structure a training session around that piece of cake, you know, and just go, oh, I'm going to use that to get my best squat ever, you know. And it's not even in a weird way. It's actually just when you realize how you can use that energy in your body, you know, or you could go for a nice walk. But look, let's not associate food and calories burnt together. So let's just separate those two things. If you have a bad meal, if it's quote unquote bad, I want you to enjoy it. So the guilt associated with that can be just terrible because you've then had something that you think is bad. Plus you've also not even enjoyed it. So if it's your child's birthday or your birthday, enjoy it. And then once again, get back on with it. So you can also plan for something like that by just keeping it pretty simple throughout the day. If it's a dinner, or if you've had something for lunch that's extravagant, and then keep it pretty simple for the rest of the day and just then jump back on your plan. That's what I would do. And I've gone through years and years where I haven't had birthday cake, and now I have birthday cake and I look better than what I've ever looked. So in my own opinion. I've just got to say that it's okay to have that. You know, you just have to learn to then, you know, get back on with it and not stress too much about it.
That's right, Nick. One bad meal isn't going to derail your challenge. And it's also said on the other side, you know, one good meal isn't going to, you know, make you lean. So I think the majority of what we do is going to play the bigger part. So if you do have that one cookie or one piece of cake or one quote bad meal, whatever that means to you, it's okay. We're just going to get back on and get the job done.
Oh, yeah. And also the other thing is just think about it like this, but not all the time, but just think about it. It's made up of the same things that other things are made up of. So like you've got your proteins, you've got your fats, you've got your carbs. So it doesn't say I am evil in a scientific calculation. It just is made up of all of those things. But as we've said, it's probably quite heavy in the fats and carbs, which makes it tasty. So then just look at that and see it as an equation and go, okay, so I'll go a bit lighter on those things for the rest of the day and it'll all equal itself out. So once you start to see it as just, it's a food, but it's a bunch of numbers as well, then you can kind of like Tetris fit it in sometimes.
Yep. Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, our hashtag NSVs. So yes, these are our victories that are not linked to the changes in the scale, non-scale victories. Nick, take us away. Who have you found this week?
All right. So I'm taking off with Julie Brown. So Julie Brown, as I was leaving the gym today, the manager yelled out, "You're looking good, Jules," and gave me a thumbs up. I laughed, thanked him and said, "I'm working on it." I felt so great for the rest of the day. So how nice is that? That's really good. And that's that sort of thing where after a few weeks, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, people start to notice. You know, that's where you can start to really enjoy, and you should really celebrate that. When people compliment you, celebrate it and just take that time to really appreciate how far you've come, and also appreciate that they've given you that compliment. So the worst thing that you can do is go, oh, no. You've got to embrace it and appreciate that they're giving you their time to tell you that as well. So I love that. Good on you, Julie.
I love it, Julie. Congratulations. It's so nice when other people notice it in a positive way. And, you know, Nick, sometimes you've probably experienced this when people say it in maybe not as a positive way, maybe talking about your heritage. I'm sure that people in your family have gone, oh, Nicoletta, you need to eat more food, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. So, I hear everything. I can hear the same. I can hear like in one sentence from different people, you know, like in the same room, two different things. When I get my nails done for comps, my favorite thing to hear is definitely, "Oh, you're too big," because then I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm on track." You're meant to be tiny, but if you're really muscular, they're like, "Oh, I don't want to look like you," and I'm like, "Yes, we're nearly there."
Yeah, so, no win. I love it. And I think that speaks a little bit about that mindset approach to it, where, you know, other people are always going to have comments about you, and I guess it's how you take it. Either you take it as a win, or you know, take it personally. Okay, that's your prerogative. But you know, for Julie here, you know, she's looking good. The manager of the gym's noticed it, and she's owned it, which is awesome. Love it.
That's right. And managers are usually pretty busy, so you must have looked bloody good, because they're usually flat out. So that's cool. Love it. So the next one I've got is Kim Horsey. Okay, so Kim, my mate's Kim. Kim says, "While doing my cardio this morning, I listened to the podcast and I've taken two things away that I'm still pondering. Number one, I'm a person who never sees a plan through. I get bored, I see other approaches, I miss a day, then it's over. This time I'm seeing the plan through. I'm determined." So that's the NSV, which I love. And then this is the number two one. "This is about the hunger after doing cardio. Yes, I do cardio and I love it. I'm very active. It's nothing for me to do a 2-hour run just for fun. However, I fuel my body before and replenish it afterward with good nutrition and or a protein shake. I've noticed that if I cut my running out, I feel bloated and get cranky more than usual. What I do know now, though, from the challenge is to eat the carbs, stop starving my body from carbs and only surviving on protein." So I love that. I think that's fantastic. Congratulations, Kim. I love also having this example of a very active person, because, I'm going to just take a second to define cardio. That almost isn't really, I'm going to open a huge can of worms. Even that, because your body is used to it, isn't really what I'm meaning by the excessive hunger cardio thing. It's more that thing like that we're all into doing on the Facebook group, our stepper at the moment, our stairs, any kind of high intensity effort. That's the thing where you're going to, if you feel that extra trigger of hunger, some people like who are distance runners, who are athletes from way back, endurance athletes, like even myself, I never used to feel hungry. I think as you build more muscle mass, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I reckon that makes you super hungry, because I'm way more muscular now and I'm just a hungry unit. And that's why I'm raving on about hunger all the time, because I'm not sure, but it's a controversial topic, because no one can take my distance stuff away from me. And I'm somebody who jump on the Stairmaster even now. Like, I've got people telling me, "Don't do it if you want to grow muscle." And I'm like, "Nah, I want to." So I totally get it. But I think that there is something about body composition and not doing excessive endurance stuff. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, NSB to Kim, and I love it because you've opened a dialogue and you challenged me, Kim. Because she even told me that roller derby is not badass. And I'm like, I think it is, because I can't skate. So I think it looks badass, but apparently it's not.
I love it. Awesome, Kim. I'm glad that you're challenging you know, your approach to the challenge, which is probably the big NSV here, where maybe you haven't seen a program through. But, you know, if you are doing 2-hour runs just for fun, I'm sure that you've completed a program. Maybe it's not something formal on a piece of paper, but you probably completed something structured in your own personal experience that you can go for a 2-hour run just for fun. And I think that's the big takeaway.
That's it. I mean, even if you say roller derby's not boss, you're doing 2-hour runs, you know, you're a legend, all right? So just take it. And you're an NSV, so that's awesome.
Awesome.
All right, the next one, Melinda Anson. So week 3, day 3, my mind is clear and I'm not waking up with brain fog. I've lost 2.8 kilos and I'm a little worried that this is not on track, but I'm celebrating the other wins. I have energy and my self-confidence is improving. For the first time, I don't feel like I'm on a diet and I'm not struggling, choosing to eat the right things, feeling happy. So, Melinda, this whole thing about we have to suffer to lose weight isn't always the case. I think it's taught to us by by things that want to remove as much as they possibly can to make our result as quick as possible, which is then unsustainable. So welcome to the world of actually doing it in a really good way. And 2.8 kilos in 3 weeks is actually brilliant. I don't know like what percentage of your body weight it is or anything like that, but gosh, I mean, I think that that's fantastic. So well done. And also just all of the things about your energy and your self-confidence and feeling like you're not struggling to choose to eat the right things. I'm in awe. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's like a kilo a week, Melinda. You should be happy with that.
Yeah, I reckon.
And you're right. I do think it's stemmed down, Nick, from the good old no pain, no gain, and this kind of sense that we need to suffer in this fitness thing. Like, you know, you got to train hard. You need to not be able to walk home. You got to suffer. You got to suffer when you're dieting. And I don't think that's always the case. Like, you can, and this is a mind-blowing idea, Nick, ready? You can have fun through this, right? Hello. You can enjoy the dieting process. You can enjoy the training process. And like, once you find that enjoyment, that's when it becomes like a lifelong thing. It's not something that you do just for 12 weeks and then you wipe your hands and say, huh, done that thing. That's when it becomes like a, hey, I like going to the gym. I like doing 2-hour runs like Kim does. I like, you know, eating a salad for lunch, right? Like that's when we make these big changes, when we enjoy it. So, you know, if you're suffering, like just remember that you don't have to suffer. You can make it so that it's easy and it's doable and it's just a lifestyle that you have.
That's right. And also, yeah, we'd say people who do 2-hour runs for fun and that's awesome. We'd never want to take that away. Like, the, you know, living your life, moving, enjoying yourself, breathing, being out there, that's the aim.
Absolutely. Nick, I've got a few non-scale victories here. The first one goes out to Trisha Bell. And she writes, hashtag NSV, love the hashtag NSVs. This is my first challenge that I've followed and completed the first 3 weeks without an injury, illness, or quitting. I always went into a challenge to complete it, but never have. I am determined to finish this challenge and many, many more. Love that, Trisha. Cool. Yeah, oh, that's awesome. You know, like 3 weeks in, 21 days in, and you haven't given up. And that's great because you've created that foundation. And you got to keep on going. You're going to get there. And it's like that saying, you know, never quit quitting. Because we only get better at not quitting as we keep progressing it. So maybe you've lasted just a week. Maybe the second time you tried, it's lasted 2 weeks. And the third time, now it's 3 weeks. And as we get to the fourth time, eventually we're going to get to that whole 12 weeks. So that's awesome, Trisha. Keep it up.
Well done, Trisha. And also, yeah, just little habits that you pick up every time before you quit will probably all add up to the time that you don't, which is this time. And you'll be able to add all those bits in as well that you've learned from previous times. So nothing's ever wasted.
Yeah. Next one here goes to Peter Stringer. And again, hashtag NSV. Love hashtag NSV. Camping over the weekend and planning ahead with meal prep and sups led to overcoming temptations. Love it. Feeling successful. One little mindset change will show you how strong you really are. I love this, Peter. You know, you've highlighted that by planning for your camping trip, you know, doing your meal prep and preparing your supplements, you led you to overcome the temptations of camping. So I think that really speaks to many of us who do have events that come up, whether that be camping, celebrations, parties, those types of things, and a little bit of planning can help us overcome those temptations.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. A good example.
The last one here goes to Amy Godsell. Amy Godsell, and she writes, I've been feeling really blah lately. I look in the mirror and can't see much, if any, change. This morning, I decided to put my shorts on. I have these hanging in my wardrobe for a bit of inspiration, even though I think my short days are over. And she's posted a photo of her wearing these shorts. They're really baggy, which are really cool. So I think that for many of us who are trying to track a few different things, maybe we're tracking our energy levels, tracking our weight changes, tracking our measurements, our images. Maybe it's, you know, those limitations aren't showing the whole story, but there's always things like clothes that don't often lie. You know, sure, they get stretchy, they shrink, those types of things, but they don't often lie. So if you are worried if you are losing weight or not, try putting those pants on that you know don't fit you, and you may find that they do fit you now, which is really cool.
Yeah, or the opposite. Like, I can't put my jeans over my bum, right?
Yeah, I hear.
So it's like, oh, okay, well, no worries.
Nick, that's why I live in activewear, right?
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Nick.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next segment here, our Coach's Corner, where we offer our tip for the week. So, Nick, take us away. What advice do you have for us?
Okay. So we have touched on all of this just naturally throughout our discussion today. It's just a little bit of a self-audit, we like to say, as we get deeper into the challenge. So let's just call this tax time, where we just do a little bit of an audit. So I was watching a video on Instagram, and I'll mention who it was, because Coach Eugene, who I used to be friends with, well, I knew him at the Burwood gym years ago, and he's become quite successful. But what he's quite interesting with his videos and things, but the one that I really like, so shout out to Eugene if you're listening, you can come visit us on this podcast. But he did a thing of weighing raw or cooked for your meat, and he weighed a piece of chicken, and the piece of chicken was raw 100 grams. So two pieces of chicken, both raw 100 grams. When he cooked them up to different timing, both cooked, like, but one was a little bit, cooked a little bit more. One of them weighed 70 and one of them was about, I think, 90. So it's just, if you weigh your meat cooked then, which, I mean, some people have to because of just limitations between trying to divide it up for the family, but just that discrepancy, he was saying, sometimes if you're wondering if you're in a calorie deficit, if things aren't moving, those sorts of things can actually add a few extra calories to your total of the day. So it's just sometimes good to look a little bit deeper if you're in that kind of mode where you're not seeing any changes. So just those little 1%. So I thought that was really interesting, just the visual of that. So thank you for lending us that, Eugene, even though you don't know you did, but, you know, thank you. So the other one is making sure that you're getting your steps, the steps that you projected that you were getting, the ones that you said were part of your activity level, you know, making sure that you're at least writing down the ones that you are doing, so your tracker can keep track of what's going on, because you don't want to say, yeah, I do 10,000 steps a day, but then if you look at your weekly average, it's about 6,000. So that's the thing, like, just because you do it 1 or 2 days, the averages are annoying because they're true and they always seem like lower, but which is great for your average weight. But then for things that you do that are extravagant, you know, you have to work pretty hard to get a high average. You know, you have to do it often, you know, regularly, to otherwise it goes down. So doing the steps and also doing the reps. So are you actually connecting with your training? That is so important. And sometimes we can go through periods where we just kind of bash it out. But are you actually feeling whether you could test a higher weight? You know, are you a little bit scared? Is there a threshold? Do you need a spotter? Is there something that you do? Have you reached that sort of limit? Do you need to maybe mix your grip up, you know, with your deadlifts? Do you need some chalk? Do you need some straps? Where are you at? You know, is there something that's limiting you with your training? So that's another thing to look at. Also, what's your real goal? So if you said you want to gain muscle and the scales are going up a little bit, you're a little bit scared of that, are you limiting yourself? Are you maybe not consuming the calories that you should consume? Because that's the other side of it. We often talk about losing weight, but there's a whole bunch of us that want to build muscle as well. So let's just make sure that we're really embracing that process, because you only get to do that, you know, for a certain amount of time, and then you'll want to shred as well. Or, you know, I don't even like the word shred, but, you know, lean up. And also, yeah, you want to, the other side of it is, yeah, we've said this a million times, getting over our scale fears, but also just remember, say for someone like myself, my weight needs to go up year to year. It doesn't have to go up by kilos and kilos, but because I am putting on muscle, my new set point in between comps and things like that is going to be a little bit higher, and it needs to be. So for me, I need to, as a coach, I coach you guys to not worry, but I need to know if I'm 1 or 2 kilos heavier than what I would normally sit, that's actually a good thing for me. It's like, wow, how could that even, you know, be true? Because I have gained maybe, you know, out of that, maybe 1 kilo of muscle, if I'm lucky. Oh, gosh, probably not even. But that's where we're living, you know, that kind of a thing. So just for the other side of it, so if I'm doing a bit of a self-audit, I need to know that my set point's going to be a little bit higher than what it has been before, because I've had a huge, lot of muscle growth recently, you know, in the last maybe 3 years, you know. So yeah, that's just my little audit. So just go through that, do a little bit of a checklist and have a think about if there's anything that you can glean out of that just to make your challenge a little bit better moving forward.
No, I like it. And I think there is an importance in self-auditing and being a little bit humble in our approach, because there's always something we can get better at, right?
Absolutely. And especially with the weighing stuff, because often people will say they weigh it, but then they don't really. And that can just make such a difference, you know. And once you get into that habit of weighing your food, it's like a revelation. And then people come to me. Somebody the other day said to me at the gym, she goes, did you know that 7 dates, I mean, this isn't weighing, this is tracking, 7 dates is 300 calories? I didn't know that. And I used to just snack on those. And it's things like that that you suddenly go, whoa, hang on. You know, so just be honest with your tracking.
Yeah. I think that like calorie awareness is like that big driving point that we want to make. You know, everyone understand that, yeah, it can be very different. Like, you know, 6 dates, some of us could just, you know, snack on that and be like, oh, yeah, fine, happy days. But then, you know, we freak out when a whole meal is 300 calories and you're like, well, you just add 300 calories in like 6 days, didn't even look at it. But then now you've got this big salad in front of you and that's 300 calories and you're freaking out. Like, you know, there's a little bit of mix match in those expectations.
Totally. I think if things are small, we think that they're S-M-O-L-L, small, we think that they don't have as many calories. But yeah. They often have like this, they really do.
Yeah. It's like trail mix. I love trail mix, but yeah, that could be like half your daily caloric intake in just a few handfuls of trail mix.
I know. Trail mix is awesome. Especially if there's like a little bit of chocolate stuck in there as well. Yeah. And oh, look out. Yeah. Take your scroggin to the gym.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Look, my tip of the week is all about core training. And the short answer or the short tip of the week is that the vast majority of us do not need to worry about core training. Okay. The vast majority of us do not need to do any dedicated or specific core training for our body transformation needs or even just our general health needs. Okay. So let's talk about what I'm talking about with core training. So there is a little bit of a delineation between core training and ab training. So ab training would be trying to train the abdominal muscles like the rectus abdominis or the obliques. And sure, if you are maybe a higher advanced level trainee like Coach Nick, you may need to do some dedicated abdominal muscle training so you can build your abdominal muscles. The vast majority of us, beginner, intermediate, do not need to do any direct abdominal work to build our ab muscles. Okay, so there's a really cool study which kind of suggests that. And the study took intermediate lifters and they split them into two groups. One group held a plank for as long as they could, and they put 20% of their body weight on their back. And then they told them to hold the plank until failure. Okay, so you imagine doing a plank with 20% of your body weight. So for me, it's about 20 kilos on my back, holding that plank for as long as I can. That was one group. And the other group were asked to complete their 6 rep max of a back squat. And just to put some numbers out there, the average 6 rep max for those participants in this study was about 140 kilos. So these people were like quite strong individuals. And what they tested was they put a whole bunch of EMGs, the muscle testing machines, on their midsection, on their abs, and tried to determine how much muscle activity was occurring in their abdomen between the plank and between the squat that they were doing 6 rep max. And the main takeaway was that there was no significant difference between the two groups. So what that suggests to us is that if you are trying to build your abs or your muscles around your midsection and you're trying to beat yourself up with lots of planks and crunches and reverse crunches and all these other funky ab movements, you know, that you may be better off just spending more time lifting heavier weights. So just by doing things like, you know, your squats, your deadlifts, your bench press, overhead press, big compound movements, and we could see some really great development in our midsection. And that's for the majority of beginner, intermediate, even early advanced. And maybe there are some people on that higher end, like Coach Nick, who may need to do some direct ab work, but the majority of us do not need to. So that's kind of ab training. When it comes to core training is training those deeper muscles that attach onto our spines. That's what we define as core muscles. So, you know, things like the multifidi or the rotatores or the interspinalis and those types of muscles, which you may not have never heard of, but they're kind of like the core muscles that we kind of refer to in physical therapy land. Now, those muscles are worked through every single action that you do. So for me right now, if I go to lift my arm up into the air, my core muscles activate so that I can do those movements. One of the first muscles to activate in your body is your diaphragm muscle, your diaphragm attaching directly onto your spine. So whenever you do any movement, from moving your head, lifting your arm, or taking a step, those core muscles are engaging. So if you feel that you need to do core training, you're probably doing core training by getting out of bed, so you probably don't need to do any core training. And I can guarantee that your core needs to be strong if you are deadlifting at a high effort or squatting at a high effort or lifting any weights at a high effort. So my main takeaway, my main tip of the week is that if you feel that you need to do, you know, a 10-minute circuit to train your abs or to do a 5-minute plank to train your core or any other thing that you see on Instagram or online or anything like that, I want you to take away that priority. You probably don't need to do those types of activities. Sure, if you enjoy it, no dramas, you can do it. It's fun, but you probably don't need to, especially if you're training at a high effort and you know, doing some of these bigger compound movements. And especially as you start getting closer to lifting, you know, your body weight through some of these activities, I guarantee that you've got a strong midsection, strong core, and strong abs.
Yes, I agree, 100%. Shane asked me for a program yesterday, and he just kept, because he's had a few beers recently, started a new job, gone out a little bit and stuff like that. He wants to lose some weight. And I said calorie deficit, all that stuff. But then he said, I want to do sit-ups. And I said, please, can you just listen to me? And I said, like, I just want you to do some squats. You know, you can do your bench press. Just do all those things. Don't worry about it. But because he's got this thing now, one of those chairs that you can lift up, he's like, I want to do that. And I said, look, I'll chuck it at the end for you, but it's not going to do anything.
No.
So yeah, it's a very common thing. And of course we see daytime TV ads where it's like there's that torsinator thing, and it, you know, you just go to the side and you get your abs and things, you know. So I don't blame anyone for thinking that, and there's heaps of core classes out there, and it's all good.
I still remember the first time I leaned down, Nick, and my abs started to come through. And at the time, I hated doing sit-ups. I hated doing any sort of core work or anything like that. So I never did it. I was like, oh, I'll just go in there. I used to be like, you know, real gym bro. I used to love to do like the bicep day and the shoulders day and the legs day and that type of stuff, right? And as I started to lose weight, the abs came through and I was like, oh, this is awesome, right? And then I started to put two and two together going, well, I never do ab work, but I've got abs. It doesn't make sense. Okay, it must be coming from the work that I was doing. And then what actually ended up happening was I did like a photo shoot, right? And as I was lifting some of these like weights, you know, I was doing like a bicep curl or something like that. The photographer takes a photo and you can see my abs just pop like this. Yeah. And it was that photo that I was like, oh, the abs are working when I'm doing a bicep curl. Oh, okay. And then as I learned more and became a little bit more educated around this stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, your abs are working all the goddamn time. So don't feel that you need to do lots and lots of ab work to get abs. You have abs, they're there. If you didn't have abs, well, you're not getting out of bed in the morning because you wouldn't be able to coordinate your movements. And yes, if you are lifting weights, you're getting just as much stimulus as holding a plank to failure with load on your back. So a plank plus to failure is the same as just lifting some heavy weights.
Yeah, I'm surprised at, like, I do not do much in the way of anything like that, and I've my abs are there. So it is the way. You are correct. You are not incorrect. You are highly correct.
Nick, well done. we've got some more questions here just to wrap up the show today. These are questions that have been from our Facebook social hub and then also from our forum. So, Nick, you can answer the first one here. And it is, okay, so I'm doing the Get Strong program, but I'm not sure I'm up for it. Feel like I'm pushing weights, then being hungry, but not able to eat the calories. Should I keep at it or change to tone and shape? So, Nick, what advice would you give this individual?
Okay, so first up, the nutrition is now separate, so they're not associated with each other. So you can keep doing get strong but have less calories. So it's not like you have to do tone and shape to have the calories of being in fat loss, if that's what you're trying to say. The other thing is sometimes it takes a little while for your hunger to catch up when you are amping up your weight program. If you're used to not eating much or you don't have a very structured eating program, you're not going to straight away push a whole bunch of weights and feel super hungry. It does take a while. It does take a while to get that ravenous sort of hunger that happens when you lift those weights. So just be a little bit patient. It'll depend on what style of training you enjoy. The other thing is, just like we say, this is a good tip that somebody told me once when I used to say, I'm just not hungry all the time, is just like we say, don't associate hunger in a negative way emotionally, the other way where it's like, don't eat if you're not hungry, just in an emotional way. It's the other way around as well. Like, you actually have to fuel yourself sometimes even when you're not particularly hungry, if you've got to reach those calories, you know. So that's the thing. Like, you may think that you're not hungry because you're used to just not eating, but you might actually have to be responsible with your nutrition and go, okay, I'm going to have something that's a little more calorie dense. I'm just going to, like, a smoothie, something like that, you know, with your ingredients in it, and just get it down. You know, that's, I mean, it's a bit bodybuildery, but it's like, sometimes you have to get started with that habit and then it comes. So, you know, if you're actually wanting to up your hunger, you will have to start to eat a little bit to see that happen and get into that routine. So not being able to eat the calories. Also, where it says getting hungry, being hungry but not being able to eat the calories, I would just probably switch to some more calorie-dense foods, because the thing is, you do say that you're hungry, so that's good. Capitalize on that. Be ready for it. Don't let yourself get over that wave, because you can actually, if you wait long enough, and we say this to people who are trying to lose body fat, if you wait long enough, you can actually go through the wave of hunger. So it can happen the other way around as well. Like, if you're trying to actually eat to grow muscle, or, you know, you have to actually catch that wave. So be prepared. That's the other thing. And be responsible, be prepared, and know your goal. So don't be afraid to eat that food.
I like it. Yeah, I just do want to touch on that, like, last little thing there was, you know, I feel like I'm pushing weights, then being hungry, but not able to eat the calories. So, you know, you've suggested that you're hungry, but then maybe there's a bigger fear around the number behind the calories. So yeah, I just wonder if there's something a little bit more emotional happening here rather than something more physiological, where, you know, if you're hungry, you know, you hopefully are able to eat, but maybe you're suggesting that you're hungry, but then the total volume of food is too much, so that you're unable to eat the calories or unable to eat the whole food. So maybe there's a little bit of a mixed match in the communication there. But yeah, I think having some energy dense foods can be a really easy solution to that. So, you know, reach for those 6 to 8 and you could have the calories quite easily.
That's right. That's the thing. Like, yeah, there's so many different tricks to just getting those calories in. Yeah, as you said, very good point. It may just be the fear of the word calories, you know. If you change that word to yourself to the nutrition, maybe that would help as well.
Yeah, I like that. Language is powerful, right?
It is, isn't it? So if you say being hungry but not being able to eat the nutrition, or, you know, fuel my body, then it just has a whole different meaning to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Nick, next question here is, just wondering if it's safe to take all these supplements all year round, or should you take a break from time to time? For example, in between challenges. Okay, let's talk about it. So supplements, the vast majority of supplements are food derivatives. So take protein as an example. It comes from dairy milk, so it's just dehydrated milk. So for many of us who do consume dairy products, we don't take breaks, you know, season to season or year round. You know, you'll still have your Weet-Bix with milk for breakfast year round. And, you know, there's no dramas with having a protein powder year round. When we're talking about other fun supplements, you know, things like our creatine, glutamine, BCAAs, those types of things, again, no dramas in taking those supplements. Again, many of those are derivatives from foods. Sure, some of them are made in labs because it's just easier to make it in the lab than get it from food products. talking about creatine more specifically, there are some individuals who have a fear of creatine. There have been some really large and robust studies. Creatine is actually the most studied supplement, sports supplement ever. There's genuinely like thousands of studies on creatine. So again, no issues taking creatine year round. Like myself, I've been taking creatine for about 10 years and I don't think I there's that much drama is happening in my body. So I don't see an issue with taking creatine year round, especially if it's just a maintenance dose. If you're taking more creatine than your body wants, you probably know about it through your visits to the toilet. So no dramas with creatine. The only supplement that I would recommend that you cycle a little bit is caffeine, and more specifically caffeine in pre-workouts. Okay, so for some of us, you know, we love our, you know, 6 cups of coffee a day, all right, no dramas, you know, enjoy your caffeine, but what we find is that because caffeine works on our nervous system, our body does have that repeated bout effect where, you know, we do kind of get desensitized to the stimulus that caffeine gives to us. So if you are having lots of coffee and pre-workout, you may find that you don't get the buzz anymore from pre-workout, or you don't get the buzz from coffee. So you then need to take 2 doses and you take 3 doses. You just keep having more and more and more. And that's kind of how people get addicted to, you know, harder drugs. So, you may benefit from, you know, coming off of caffeine. However, if anyone's done a caffeine detox, or, you know, tried to not have coffee for a period of time, it can be a non-pleasant experience. So it's not for everybody. But there's no reason why you can't go from like 6 coffees a day down to 2 coffees a day, you know, desensitize from a little bit and then kind of go back to what you're doing. And you may find that you require less caffeine to get a similar buzz to what you had previously. So to the answer to the question here, you can take supplements year round, no dramas. You don't need to cycle it on and off or anything like that, unless you're taking more than creatine, but that's not the scope of the challenge or this podcast. But you may benefit from cycling caffeine. However, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect. I agree.
Nick, next question.
I'll never give up my caffeine, though. I'm hopeless. The worst.
Nick, next question here. I had no energy at the gym this morning. Made it through my weight set, but ran out of steam during the circuit. Normally, I can grit my teeth, dig deep, and push through, but honestly, I couldn't. I felt lightheaded and just blah. So I stopped. So I went on the treadmill and at least I got my steps in. The last few days, I've struggled to hit my calories, so perhaps it's that. Any advice? Nick, what advice would you give this individual?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say well done for continuing through. We all have those days. And I'll just quickly point out also, because it was a woman, just where are you in your cycle? That's also something to really think of. I've touched on this before in other podcasts and things. Just, certain phases of the menstrual cycle, you can actually feel a bit blur, like during ovulation even. You know, that's about 15 days in post-menstruation, post the first day of your period. So it just depends where you're at with that and how your body responds to certain timings of your cycle, because you can have days where you've done everything right and you still feel like shit. And that is just the way it is. So with that sort of a thing, you've done the right thing to just stop sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. You know how we always say keep going, keep going. Sometimes you do have to listen to your body and actually chill out a little bit. And, you know, you still continued on with the steps and got that in. But then, yeah, the other thing is I've struggled to hit my calories for a few days. So the thing is, just say you're already in a calorie deficit, and then you're struggling to hit your calorie deficit. So you're already below those maintenance calories. So your body's already in a deficit and you're struggling to hit that. So therefore you put yourself into an extra deficit. Of course, you're going to be feeling lack of energy. You know, that's the thing. So you do want to try, as we spoke about before, to hit those calories. But look, things happen. You've struggled to hit it. So I would say my advice would be get back onto those calories, try and rest your body and take note of where you're at in your cycle, and then move forward with a plan from there. And perhaps if you're not somebody who's used to eating prior to the gym, perhaps just have something like a banana, a protein banana smoothie, something like that, and see how you feel. because that might also help as you as your workouts get harder as well, as the training gets harder. If you're somebody who usually trains faster, you may need to draw on a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Just want to touch on like the big rocks around training performance. Like number one, of course, is sleep. So if you did have a poor sleep the night before, maybe it's, you know, it's just hot, it's stuffy, you got disrupted, pets, animals, that type of thing. Okay. You know, a poor quality sleep is going to negatively impact your training. Sleep number one, hydration number two. So not so much how much water you consume, but if you just are dehydrated, you know, you are going to have a poor session. And then number three, sodium intake. So if you have been reducing salt intake and, you know, you hadn't had much salt, you know, in the days leading up to this, that can also impact your training performance. So there are, you know, a few kind of things that can influence performance, especially if you kind of are low energy and just feel a bit meh. And especially if you got through like half your session and then kind of hit that wall. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it is because, you know, you just not recovering well, poor sleep quality, not really super hydrated, those types of stuff.
Yeah. You know what? That just made me think of a story when I used to work at a gym where they would give you a couple of teaspoons of rock salt in your water when you walked in. That was pretty cool. I like that. So yeah, I forgot about salt. Salt is important, isn't it?
Yeah, I have a pinch of salt in my pre-workout, and I actually spoke about this probably in episode number, gosh, like 25, Mick, quite a while ago, where I ran my little mini experiment adding salt to before I train, and I did notice a significant difference. So for me, I have a little pinch of salt in a pre-workout before I go and train. Yes, that does mean that I probably hold onto a little bit more fluid than I want to, but I'm cool with that. No dramas. I don't have body composition goals at the moment. I have strength goals, and I'm okay with that. So yeah, I have a little bit of salt. I noticed that I am able to perform better in the gym.
Perfect.
Nick, last question here. I'm wondering your thoughts on training 4 days, Friday to Monday. So training 4 days, Friday to Monday, and 3 days off for the challenge. I'm doing this now as I do 12-hour shifts Tuesday to Thursday because of the first 2 weeks I'm getting up at 2 a.m. to go to the gym and have been exhausted. Okay, so this individual's asking what our thoughts are on training 4 days in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then having 3 days off. Okay, so my answer to this individual is that it's probably not optimal to train in that way where you are training 4 days in a row and then having 3 days off. You know, we don't really want to go more than like, you know, 48 hours without a training session. And then, you know, 4 days back to back can accumulate some fatigue, you know, in different parts of our body, even just like overall training fatigue. And then 3 days off can be kind of a big time off. So first thing I'd say is that it's not optimal to do. However, if it's your only logistical way to complete that, then I would say, yeah, like no dramas. You know, if that's the way that you can get training in, you know, no dramas there. So there's a difference between what is, you know, optimal versus what is like, you know, logical or, you know, makes logistical sense. Like they're two different conversations. So what's optimal, probably not optimal. What makes sense? Great. This has made it work. What I would suggest that you keep a track of is your overall energy level and your overall performance. So if you find that if you are getting to day four, you've trained, you know, 1, 2, 3, then day four, and you are feeling kind of like tired, lethargic, and your performance is decreasing. So, you know, as you get to that day four, you try to grab some of those loads and, you know, you aren't able to progress the loads, or if anything, they're decreasing. So instead of squatting 100 kilos, you now struggle to squat 90 kilos. Okay, maybe you are accumulating too much fatigue over those 4 days of back-to-back training that's negatively impacting day number four. So then we might need to modify some things, maybe decrease the total load that you're doing or decrease the total volume that you're doing, similar to the approach that I'm taking with my powerlifting training. So you can make it work, but you'll just need to monitor it. So collect information, understand what's happening in your body, and then notice those first signs that performance is decreasing, such as decreased load, decreased effort, or just feeling very tired in the gym.
Yeah, and fair enough, like getting up at 2 isn't for everyone, that's for sure.
No.
But then like it seriously starts to be, are you getting up or are you still just training from the day before?
Yeah.
But everyone has to, you have to do what you have to do. That's the bottom line, you know, just make it work.
Make it work. Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 53. of the Challenge Weekly Show. And happy Tuesday. I hope everyone is enjoying Tuesday, the 22nd of February, 2022. How exciting, Nick.
Happy Tuesday. And thanks, everybody, for contributing and engaging with us and challenging us. And you're all wonderful. So it's fantastic. Let's keep it up.
Yes. And we'll catch you next week for episode number 54.
54.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend.
Or leave us a review on iTunes to spread the good word. See you next time.